I think also in these few verses, we see that he goes down to the vineyard and he's a Nazirite and there's no reason for him to be there.
Yeah.
If you read, and they can't even eat the seeds or the skin of the grape or anything of the vine. So he has no business being there. And then we see the young lion roars, and we know that the devil is as a roaring lion. So we see the enemy attacks when we're in a place where we shouldn't be. And then we see the Spirit of God comes and the enemy is defeated. And it's only the only way we can resist the devil is if we submit to God first. So submission to God allows us to resist the devil and he will flee from us.
So Jesse, in that, what is the vineyard speaks of? You said it, the Nazirite should not go there.
Wine speaks of joy.
Okay, the joy of what?
Of this world.
This world.
The joy of this world. He was in a place where he wanted to get as much as he can of the joy of this world. So who comes? Who comes on him in that territory? A lion. Mm-hmm. Who is the prince of this world? He said, hey, what are you doing in my territory here? This belongs to me. And he's going after him. So if we are in the world and living and trying to get as much joy from the world, we're going to have to meet up the prince of this world. But then the scripture said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. In spite of all of that, the Spirit of God will come upon him because he had conquered. But don't go into the vineyard of Timon. Don't go in there to get the joy of this world, because there is nothing in it but sorrow.
If I may add to this, because I want to connect that thought, Jesse, you brought, because he didn't come down himself. His mother, who is also a Nazirite, right, came down with him and his father. And I want to talk a word for the children. And just take it for whatever it's worth from the Word of God. We spoke earlier in the previous session about the privileges that Samson had. And one of that privilege is godly parents, godly house. But this is the line of the privilege. Now I want to take a hold of the line of the responsibility. Be assured that the way you live, you might enhance the ministry of your parents, or you might hinder it. I want to repeat that. The way you might behave as a child might enhance the ministry of your parents, or it might hinder it. Samson, in the line of privilege, had godly parents. But you know what? When he started going down, he was able to bring his parents down with him. And that's why in light of the New Testament, if there is one have a desire of an overseer to do a certain work, children has to be in obedience. Because if they are not, how could he take care of the flock of God if he cannot maintain his own house? So thank God for privileges. And I want you to feel such a privilege if you have godly parents. But also don't lose sight of this principle that there is a line of responsibility attached to it, that you should live in an orderly way according to the Word of God, because it does not only affect you, it affects the whole house, it affects the parents, it affects the father, it affects the mother, it affects the saints. But please be careful when you take up this line of privilege. There is the other side of the coin, and that's the responsibility.
And yet, you know, the thought here is Samson is an adult.
Yes.
Right? I was thinking, you know, we read in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. The very next verse is, honor thy father and thy mother. And I think the difference between the two is you move from a position of being under the authority of your parents to being an adult, where you are to honor them. You don't set aside and disregard their counsel. So here's Samson as a man, a judge. He's a man in responsibility. So when he was a child, he was to honor, he was to obey. He was to honor their wishes as being directed and guided by them. But here's a man now, and this is what happens when we don't get it as children. We grow up to be adults, and now we're telling our parents what they should do for us. And our parents, who have been striving with us for many years, possibly affecting public ministry and other things that the Lord would have our parents to do, they get to the point where they cannot resist the words of Samson, who is a judge in Israel. And I was thinking of this, that when we began this chapter, we see Samson moving out as a man after his own desires. His parents couldn't stop him. In fact, he took them with him down to Timnah. But you see, what the Lord does is he brings this lion before him. He was down in the vineyards, having all of the joys of the world, and his parents were there, and I'm sure their hearts were heavy. I can tell you this, I don't know any Christian parents seeing their children go off and not heeding their word feel good about being in the vineyards with him or seeing him there. But the Lord says, oh yeah? You see, sometimes we say the devil made me do it, but prior to this point, it was Samson himself. But now it's the devil that is brought before him as a lion. And when we move young people from this position of the things that we do that may be hidden to more of a public thing, because the vineyards were very public. You could see Samson was a Nazarite, and look what he's down there doing. He's taking of the wine and the skin of the vineyards. He's just like us. And God says, oh yeah? So he brings this young lion. This is a, if you would, a form of Satan himself. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But it's God who, because God honors that Samson is his. And so the Spirit of God comes upon him. And this is God in grace. That's all you can say. That God says, okay, this child, this man belongs to me. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in a mighty way. And you say, you know, we sit and you scratch our heads. How could, I mean, I would have said, look, that's where you put yourself, Samson. That's what it is. But the Spirit of God, God still had a hedge about Samson because he was his. And Samson tore this lion like he was a kid, like he was nothing. And he did it without anything in his hand. That's only God that could have done this. And yet, the question is, did Samson see this as God's intervention in his life? Did he see? Did he recognize that it's God who had brought about this enablement for him to destroy the this form of the enemy in a lion?
There's a spiritual battle that is going on, and it's interesting to see that here, at the beginning of the chapter, Satan wasn't quite so obvious. He came in subtlety. And Samson saw, and he went down, he'd been through that. But that was the subtlety of Satan. Now, when we see, and then we see the lion, that he comes as a roaring lion, and God in grace preserved. Think of the Lord Jesus. You know, he was tempted in all manner like us unto we, yet sin apart. You know, the 40 days in the wilderness, in subtlety, Satan came in. And by the word of God, he was victorious. At the end of his life, the Lord Jesus there, think of the Garden of Gethsemane, think of the cross, think of the judgment hall, the roaring lion against him, and yet victorious. Victorious. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And what a encouragement for us to realize and to look. We see Samson's failure, but we can see the victory in Jesus.